It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. And it feels like it's just a Kansas City Chiefs world, and we're just living in it. No Rashee Rice, no Isaiah Pacheco. No problem for the Chiefs on Monday Night Football against the New Orleans Saints, and they'll be able to get some rest in the bye week before they head out west to take on the San Francisco 49ers in a Super Bowl rematch. And they're 5-0 right now, one of two undefeated football teams. And by the time the Niners play them, will they be 2-4? Will they be 3-3? Because we got a dandy on Thursday against the Seattle Seahawks, and we'll still rehash some of the Arizona game. We'll discuss Nick Bosa because there was some pushback from Kyle Shanahan. It's not just from Monte Hill, Instagrammers. It's also from Kyle Shanahan, who didn't appreciate what Nick Bosa said after the game. So we'll get into that. We'll get into their red zone woes. We'll get into their identity. What is the Niners' identity? But first, I do want to start because we do got baseball playoffs. We got all that stuff. But Chiefs, Saints, Kareem Hunt goes back to his old stumpy grounds, rushes for over 100 yards. Most yards he's had since when? 2020, I believe. Juju Smith-Schuster, most receiving yards since what? 2018? Oh my gosh, Juju Smith-Schuster looked like he was in his prime again. Kansas City's just, and they may have the best defense in the league, the best defense under Andy Reid, the best defense they've had in Kansas City while having Patrick Mahomes, Shasky. They're just a complete football team right now. They are like, the separation between the Niners and the Chiefs since that Super Bowl is starting to widen and widen and widen even more.
You know, there's so many ways to get the job done in a variety of professions. And what Kyle Shanahan has done is extremely successful. Extremely successful. And there are certain things that I see other teams do that I just shake my head that we can't do. Case in point, Xavier Worthy. Mm. And I go, huh, he can only run the go route. I mean, let's be honest. He's not a physical guy.
No.
He's going to be really skinny. He's extremely fast. On the Niners, I'm not sure he'd see the field. Renardo Green, one of their draft picks right now, one snap over the weekend.
Mm.
One snap for a secondary that could use bodies.
Mm.
Jacob Cowan, did he even get an offensive snap?
He was inactive.
Yeah. Okay. What about Ricky Pearsall? Has he had a snap this year?
Well, he can't get on the field.
Agreed. But he was also hurt when they got him.
Yeah.
meanwhile, I watch Andy Reid, and he's like, yeah, you're really, really fast. Guess what? You're going to play every single snap. And now, with Rashee Rice's injury, we're going to utilize you even more, and now you're up to speed and you're ready to go. Mm. And we know you're not a complete player. We don't expect you to be a complete player. But you can do a couple of things really, really well, and you're going to fit right in. Mm. It's just their culture. You know what it is?
And they're running Xavier Worthy on dry routes. It's not just go routes. They're running drags. They're running quick screens. Wildcat. They got him out the backfield. He's running out routes. He's running every route tree. He's getting up to speed.
No, that's what the point is. It's so like, I get, you know what this is? And I'm just going to say it. You know, now I know what it was like to be a Rockets fan. You know, they're the Warriors. We're the Rockets.
Well,
that's what it feels like. I watch that team with envy. I go, that team plays with its food every single week, and they're the best team on the planet, and there's a Warrior-like feel to them where it's like Kevin Durant and Steph, all right, we'll play 6 minutes of good ball, and we'll knock you out in the fourth quarter. That's what it feels like when I watch them. And I know we're really, 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 really good, and we keep looking over at them, and I'm like, but they're better.
They are better.
And it drives me nuts.
They are better.
I hate saying it. Like, you know it drives me nuts. And I watch that guy, Mahomes.
Oh,
God, he's awesome, and I hate him.
He's so good. He's so good in the pocket. He keeps plays alive. I wanted to watch the ManiCast for the first time for this season. I locked in on a ManiCast for just the first half because I wanted to really lock in on how Belichick viewed the Kansas City Chiefs.
And what he said.
Belichick was just, first of all, Kansas City's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a tough place to play. You can't audible. You can't do anything. All right, that's number one. Number two, he goes, they do such a good job in the screen game. For they had a second and 34, Shasky. A second and 34. All right, they run a little dump off. They get about 10 yards. And it's third and long. And Belichick's like, You never can rest. You always sweat on third down against these guys. You always do. So what do? They throw it to Kelce, and they have a built-in play with Piran where he's just staggered. And we saw, where did we just see this from?
The
Rams did it, but where he just throw it back to the running back, boom, and he get close to a first down, and then on fourth down, they get the first down with Kareem Hunt. They had a second and 34, for crying out loud.
Bonte.
And they still converted to fourth, and they still got a first down.
I watched ESPN do cut-ups this morning as I was on the treadmill. Four different times in the last 3 years, Kelce's ran that play.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped.
It's just right there.
Last 3 years.
So calm, cool, and collected. So, and during the manicast, Belichick's like, Manning, on that call sheet, you don't have anything for second and 34 or 2-point conversion? He goes, yeah, we don't. And so their screen game, Kansas City screen game, the screen game's better. Their running game's better right now, I believe. Their defense is light years better. Their defense is flying around. Spags blitzes whenever the hell he wants to. A gap, B gap, C gap. You want to bring a corner? Fine. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's sitting on the edge there. Saints are bringing a corner blitz. Next thing you know, the corner staggers, and Juju Smith-Schuster says, you know what? I'm going to go run a route. And what Troy Aikman say, this is like recess. That's a recess route. I think it was Peyton Manning who said that. It's a recess route. He just found an area, some patch of grass, catch a pass, 30 yards, boom. I mean, the separation between the Niners and the Chiefs since that fateful day in Las Vegas. They're ascending. They're thinking about a three-peat. They're thinking about a three-peat. Well, we're just thinking about, can we get a damn win around here?
You know what I'm thinking? We are so their Bengals to their Joe Montana, Bill Walsh. We just are. We've played them in two Super Bowls with two different quarterbacks, just like the Cincinnati Bengals, and we've lost tight games. Twice.
Games should have won. Games they controlled. Games they controlled for 3.5 quarters.
And you look up right now, and it's like they're putting together an all-time legacy across sports. And we just saw one of the greatest dynastic runs that we've ever seen with the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... I freaking hate it.
But he
plays the game so fun. I'm talking about Mahomes. The
yeah,
joy.
No doubt.
Like, you want me to play from the pocket? I'll play from the pocket. Oh, you want me to turn into Superman and jump for a first down? You want me to show like a rocket throw on the run? He literally does everything. And they incorporate all these different players. And then I watch Chris Jones just pick and choose his spots. And he's always in the backfield when the game is on the line. He's always in the quarterback's face, disrupting things. They're everything we're not. And
so
it bugs me to no end. I'm sorry, B.
I hate
them so much, but so awesome. It's hard for me not to watch.
So Chris Jones, you bring up Chris Jones in the last 5 years.
He's an all-time player.
Next Gen Stats, and they ran this with about 22 seconds left in the third quarter. 22 seconds left in the third quarter, and I saw the stat, and I took a picture of it. Chris Jones, defensive tackle. 108 incompletions forced by pressure. That is the most by a D tackle in the last 5 years. Listen to that. He's forced 108 incompletions due to his pressure. I can think about 15 of them. It feels like against the 49ers. Get your mic on. Get your mic on.
That is the most incredible statistic.
I took a picture. I was like, what?
108?
He's forced 108 incompletions due to his pressure.
That's crazy.
And half the time, it's just him, right? There's been some Frank Clark.
He's a monster.
But you can't name any other D tackle on that team.
Uh-uh.
You can't name another D in. And then Nick Bolton, that linebacker, is just filling the gap and flying around, smacking dudes like a missile. Carl Office. They had an. They didn't even call the penalty. Illegal hands to the face. His helmet was halfway off, and he's still pressuring the quarterback, trying to get the hanger late in the game. This team is the only team I think that has a shot to go into Arrowhead and beat them, because they're going to get a home field advantage. That's inevitable. I think the only team that has a shot, and it's two teams, and I think one of them is just quite not ready yet. It's the Houston Texans. I don't think they're going to be ready yet, but I think they have the potential to beat Kansas City. And it's the Baltimore Ravens. Those are the only two teams, yeah, I believe, that have a shot to even the halt Kansas City's quest for a three-pointer, or at least get back to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. They're that good. Their defense, I think their defense is better than their offense.
It might be. I'm ready to say it. And, you know, I don't know how politically correct this is in this modern landscape we're in. We have to win on Thursday because we're facing them. They're going to have a whole week off.
I know.
And we get time off, but they get more time off.
What's Andy Reid's record, Spadoni?
I got
a pop quiz. I think he's got like three losses or something, all time off byes. Like
off
he always wins.
He's a god off of bye weeks.
When have the Niners haven't beaten the Chiefs in forever, okay?
The last time I believe they beat the Chiefs was 2014, the first year at Levi's Stadium. Alex Smith came back to Levi's to face his former team. Uh-huh. I believe that's the last time the Niners beat the Chiefs. And Jim Harbaugh had to run a fake punt late in the game to keep the ball away from the Chiefs and hold on to the football. They barely, I think it was like 26. Spadoni, was the score like 26-21? Am I right? Wow, that's insane. Monte. Rayman over here. That's the last time they beat Kansas City. In my lifetime, I've never seen them beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium.
They're our daddies. Like Pedro said, the Yankees are my daddies. Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they own us.
I mean, what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
that's what it feels like.
Well, that's who the Chiefs are.
I hate them. But this is the part that's so hard for me to justify. I despise them. They have ruined our lives, and yet they play a brand of football that I absolutely love.
But you know what?
It's such a juxtaposition.
They haven't ruined our lives. The Niners have done it to themselves. The Niners have blown those games. See, a team like Kansas City, Shasky, a team like Kansas City, they don't beat themselves. They don't beat themselves whatsoever. The Niners in these games, in these big games, have beaten themselves. Whether it's drop interceptions, whether it's drop receptions, whether it's overthrows, whether it's bad fumbles, untimely holding calls, untimely false starts, untimely missed tackles, untimely fumbles on punt returns or muff punts or whatever you name it. The Niners have beat themselves against Kansas City. And if you want to beat a team like Kansas City, you want to beat a team like Buffalo, you want to beat a team like Baltimore, you cannot beat yourself. And right now the 49ers in 2024 are beating themselves over and over again, and that's what they've done in the Super Bowls against Kansas City. So as we look ahead to Seattle on Thursday Night Football, can the Niners avoid the big mistake? Can they play clean football for once?
I think it starts with one, and we'll talk about the red zone. I know you have a ton of stuff on the red zone.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I'm going to give you something that I've been looking at, and it's been driving me nuts because I was looking at that Arizona game last week, and I did all of the math, and I threw out week 18. This is the rushing yards the defense has given up every single week since the last time they played Arizona, going back to week 15, which was the week we found out Eric Armstead got hurt.
Yep.
And since then, it's just been abysmal. 234 against the Rams week 15.
Yep.
102.
But you know what, though? That week, was that week 18, the Sam Darnold game?
No, I threw that out. This was week 15 against Arizona. 234 last year.
Yeah.
And then 102 against the Ravens week 16, which I thought they ran for more.
Yeah.
Commanders week 17, clinch game, 62. I throw out week 18. I'm not even because nobody played. I'm throwing it out. Packers 136 in the playoffs.
Aaron Jones had his way.
Lions 182 in the playoffs.
David Montgomery had his way.
Super Bowl, even though everyone's going to say Mahomes. 130 for the Chiefs in that game. Jets only 68. They had a commanding lead. Vikings 146. Rams, they ran for 98, even though it was the McVay show.
But it's the way they ran the ball late in the second half where they controlled the clock and controlled the line of scrimmage, and they physically beat up the 49ers in that game.
The Patriots, who all they want to do is run. They cannot throw. They ran for 73, and then this week.
But that wasn't a lot. They shut them down.
Well, they were up by this whole game.
That's good.
And then the Cardinals 169. They have given up. If I throw week 18 out, since week 15 of last year, including the playoffs and Super Bowl, 127 yards per game.
It's not good.
Rushing.
It's not good.
So to me, like, I know the secondary stinks and they're not getting pressure and all that. They cannot stop the run in close games.
Well, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. And that's why, a lot of people, we posted a clip of me yesterday, and I went in on Bosa. And it's not to say that Bosa's not a good player. Bosa has the potential to be an all-time player. But when I see teams running at him, and they're running at the 49ers, and they're running at him with no resistance, and they have no problem. The Vikings had no problem running at Nick Bosa's side. No problem whatsoever.
In the game that they just played, he had two missed tackles in the backfield.
Yep.
And I think he had four overall, but two in the backfield.
He had two tackles for loss. No sacks. Two tackles for loss. He had the great interception. Give him credit for that. But on the Kyler Murray touchdown run, he came crashing down because I don't know if that's his assignment or what, but he came crashing down and Kyler Murray had a free lane and he was throwing up the deuces 5 yards down the field. So, we throw out DJ Jones a couple weeks ago. Well, Denver's won three in a row. So 650 Comcast Business Text Line. I don't think we're making a trade for DJ Jones. I don't think reinforcements are coming. You're going to have to make adjustments in-house. You're going to have to evaluate the situation in-house. And I don't know what you do here. I don't know what you do if you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. But you know what? You got all. This is why I look at the offense. When you score 16 points on Sunday, this offense, again, just like they did in the playoffs, you're going to have to carry this defense. They were incapable of doing it in the Super Bowl. They barely got away with it. They better got away from Green Bay in the divisional round game. But from here on out, we're going to have to win some shootouts, buddy. We're going to have to score points. Well, score, 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 score. You see Kansas City yesterday, 9 possessions? 7 times they got to the red zone yesterday.
I know.
They could have got there more. They left food on the table.
And they're missing the highest. So the number one kicker had 14 field goals made this year. Mm-hmm. Moody had 13 field goals made this year. They're missing one of their actual weapons right now. I know people think that Moody stinks or whatever.
No, he doesn't stink. Moody's a good kicker.
He was effective this year. And B, I'm glad you brought up the defense and the missed tackles. 74 yards for James Conner after contact.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this. Did you know that Fred Warner played 58 snaps in this game?
Yeah, 12 tackles.
Devondre Campbell also played 58.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. Well, it just cannot happen.
Well, Devondre Campbell.
It cannot happen.
Listen, look at.
He cannot play the same amount of snaps. You have to play a young guy.
Well, there ain't nothing you can do about it.
No, he has to be. He has to come off the field.
Like I said, Devondre Campbell's playing himself off this roster. And I'm not even being hyperbolic. He's playing himself off this roster. It's just not good. And Fred Warner, you watched the tape back yesterday. Fred Warner was clearly compromised. He wasn't moving like Fred Warner.
Poor guy was
he
trying.
He really wasn't. I props to number 54 for even going out there. He probably shouldn't have suited up.
I agree.
He shouldn't have. But again, if he doesn't suit up, the Cardinals may drop 40 on the 49ers defense. Seriously. Devondre Campbell is playing himself off this roster. It just hasn't been good. They are picking on him in a run game. They're picking on him in the pass game. The first play, Trey McBride, you know who's their tight end. You know who their tight end is. You know who it is. He's one of their go-to weapons. Devondre Campbell, excuse me, is still late on the bootleg. He's still late on the drag route. So I don't know what's going on with him, but Fred Warner is clearly compromised, and I worry about his movement skill this week against Kenneth Walker III and Geno Smith, and you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Tyler Lockett running underneath, and you got DK Metcalf. By the way, Charvarius Ward didn't practice yesterday. That's a concern. That's a concern. What if Charvarius Ward can't go? Who's going to shadow DK Metcalf?
Fonte, I looked at that injury list yesterday, and it was just like, I mean, they're in trouble.
So
a lot of limited participants and DNPs.
Look, so instead of thinking about Kansas City and thinking about getting back to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, it's operation win at all costs against Seattle.
100%.
You got to do what you got to do 100%. To feel right. I do not want to come in here Friday morning after a loss. Dear God, I don't want to do that.
Fonte, on the other side, I've got a Brock Purdy stat for you. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to throw this stat at you. He leads the league in something.
Yeah.
And I think there's a litany of things we can discuss regarding the statistic.
Yeah, I saw some things with Brock Purdy yesterday that I didn't like. And to your point, and look, I did a deep dive on the red zone yesterday just looking at things.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, you know, you talk about the combinations and formations and combo routes or whatnot. We are so damn basic in the red zone, it's not even funny. You go watch it back. It's not even funny. How many times I see him in ace formation? We'll get into it. More, it's just, oh, boy.
Baldy's going to join us. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Trust me. I watched it. I was like, damn. We got to get a little innovative here. And then the personnel, Spadoni, I'm seeing Chris Conley get red zone snaps. Chris Conley.
Ronnie Bell.
Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If we're going to call it to the roaster, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. I would love to get the roaster starts on Kansas City last night, 888-957-9570. We're not trying to look ahead, but that's the Niners' next opponent at Seattle. Kansas City's going to sit back and watch the Niners, and then have a bye week. They're light years ahead of the Niners right now. It's not even close. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises.
How do you like that, Mr. Bunte?
I want to thank you guys, Shafty, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Fonte, what are you doing today?
Willie Rito? Willie Rito, right there. Real quick, Jax, before we get started, just want to let everybody know, you got a chance to win breakfast today.
Uh-huh.
Breakfast with Baldy, Friday, October the 18th. That's right, breakfast with Baldy, Friday, October 18th. Baldy will join us that morning.
Crack, crack, crack.
All show long at 7:30. Or excuse me. Let me flip that. Today's your chance to have breakfast with Baldy, Friday, October 18th. Baldy will join us this morning at 7:30. Right after the conversation, we'll be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots. For you and a guest to come in and have breakfast with Baldy. That's right. Today, we're going to qualify 10 people. 10 people, and they're going to be able to bring a guest to have breakfast with Baldy Friday, October 18th, when he's here for the Kansas City Niners game. So that'll be a lot of fun there. That'll be a lot of fun with Baldy. We'll do that after he gets off the airwaves today at 7:30.
I have a stat for you in a second, but first.
Okay, Tony.
I know. I love doing the tease. What are you doing today after the show?
I got to have lunch with some people today.
Oh, so you're busy. You're preoccupied.
Yeah.
Well, if you're not preoccupied and you're looking for something fun, today out at Moscone, there will be a big, like a charity softball event that's going on where usually it's like Oakland Fire, San Francisco Fire Department, SFPD, Oakland PD. I think the School of the Arts usually throws a team out there. The Marines, the Navy. Because of Fleet Week, my buddy Ryan Crowley puts on this big softball event. We do another one for basketball at the gym. And then there's a big banquet. But out at Moscone, I'm hoping that the weather will turn around. It'll be a little nicer. But if you just want to hang out, there should be food trucks, and it's always a lot of fun. Last year, I believe Lucille showed up, so you could take photos with Lucille.
Wow.
I'll be taking LJ out there. I'm not going to play. We got 1,000 guys showing up to play, so I'm just going to bring the little guy, and we're going to go have fun. And so I'll be out there right after the show. So anybody that wants to go out to Moscone and go see all the people that serve this country and the first responders and stuff, and just tell them thank you. You know, go out there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you, servicemen. Thank you. By the way, shout out to YouTube. Twitch and Twitter brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For those watching on YouTube, for a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. If you want to chat, go ahead and send us a text to the Comcast Business text line at 888-957-9570. Today, I do want to squeeze in that Will Clark rant about Farhan Zaidi. Oh my God, it is rich. Did you see it?
Of course I saw it. And of course I double tapped the like button.
Hey, come on, Will. Hey, Will Clark. Hey, do you have it up now, Spinotti? Maybe we squeeze it in here at some point.
We need to do some editing on it first.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal.
How about the stat?
925. Shanahan's biggest fear this Thursday should be Dan Dibley.
Why?
Don't let him pick the Niners.
Oh.
I guess fading the Dibbers is a thing.
Oh. Well,
if he picks the Niners, that means they're going to lose.
I don't know.
Is that a thing now? All right.
Dan Dibley here. Squirt.
So on Sunday, Brock Purdy was holding the ball a long time.
A long time.
3.18 seconds was his time to throw on Sunday.
That's a lot of time in the NFL to throw.
Three seconds
is an eternity.
It is an eternity. Brady said he had never held the ball, he doesn't think, for his entire career without like a scramble.
Yeah.
For 11 seconds like Purdy did in that game. And we know it's a rhythm, timing, offense, whatnot. But this year, through five games, and it's only five games, but it's about a third of the season, he has the highest time to throw of any quarterback in the NFL at 3.15 seconds.
Yeah.
That's his average time to throw. He's been holding the ball like crazy. So two things. Number one, he does a good job evading the rush. Number two, the O-line has been decent, if not good.
Well, I tell you what it is, Shasky. He's scrambling. Nobody's getting open on the scramble drills. Guys, number one, are not uncovering in the pass game. And that's Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, or whoever the hell is out there running routes. When he's scrambling and you get into scramble mode, you see Kansas City, Travis Kelce always finds a spot to get open.
He's so good at it. You're right.
Juju Smith-Schuster finds a spot to get open. Xavier Worthy's finding a spot to get open. Noah Gray, for crying out loud, is finding a spot to get open. Brock Purdy's getting the scramble mode, and nobody's uncovering.
But don't you think he's scrambling too much?
At times, yes.
Because you can't, part of my Russell Wilson frustration was, and Big Ben got like this at one point late in his career. Not everything's a pump fake broken play. You got to play within structure a little. And I just feel like whether it's the defenses ahead of them, his unwillingness to like let it rip, maybe they're just covering guys better. I don't know what it is, but we can agree he's holding the ball too long.
He's holding the ball too long. But also, when you do scramble, you need receivers to come back to you.
Okay.
You need guys to uncover. So it's a little bit of both. A little bit of both. Nobody's uncovering. Like, this team, and I'm listening to people yesterday, and I'm listening to the experts. Apparently, Arizona is a big zone team. They run the quarters defense, zone, the quarters defense, right? Four deep or whatnot. They're zoning up everything, right? They're not playing a lot of man. Well, Sunday, they played a lot of man defense. And Minnesota Vikings played a lot of bad defense. New England Patriots played a lot of bad defense. Jets played a lot. These teams, ever since the Super Bowl,
oh boy,
somebody's figured something out. Kansas City, maybe the blueprint's out. Play bad coverage against the 49ers, blitz them a little bit. You may nullify their passing game, which is crazy to think, right? You would think with Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle, and all these players on this offense, they struggle against man coverage.
Which brings me to another stat.
Which is why they drafted Ricky Pearsall, because he's apparently a great man beater against man defense. He could get uncovered, but we haven't seen the guy because he's at like six practices.
I'm glad you're bringing up this man thing and this Ayuk thing. Did you know, Sunday, Brandon Ayuk had 12 targets.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most in his career,
yep,
in a game which he played the full game with Debo. That's wild.
That is wild.
That is wild. Could we be seeing some sort of a turning of the page in the sense of like, all right, if teams are going to go man, we have to create more Brandon Ayuk-specific game plans.
I hope so. I hope so. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
I mean, he was cooking Sunday. I actually wouldn't have been mad if they threw him 16 balls in that game.
His route running is exceptional. And you know what? Going back, watching the red zone stuff and watching Brandon Ayuk, even in the Jets game, Troy Aikman mentioned it, even though he dropped the pass and he did catch a great out route later on in that football game. But Aikman was just, he was gushing over Brandon Ayuk's route running. He said, this guy is a great route. That's the Jets game. So the route running has it. So I do believe Shanahan, when he goes up to a podium and he says, Brandon Ayuk's best game was against Minnesota. And that's up until last week. But Brandon Ayuk's been trending. So to your point about Brock Purdy holding on to the football, one of it is, yes, he is holding on to the ball.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's driving Shanahan crazy. and he was late on a lot of passes. We didn't even talk about one of the plays where he goes, rolls out to the left, George Kittle's in the flat, and he throws it late. You got to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Brock Purdy was not good on Sunday. Let's just be real. People are going to hate that.
Well, he made a couple of decent throws, but overall, I would agree, he wasn't great.
He wasn't great. 19 to 35 is not great. Now, he had a couple drops, but Brock Purdy was a little off. But he's holding on to the ball too long. But also on the flip side, guys, when you get in the scramble mode, find an open area.
Yeah.
Get rid of your – like now it's all of a sudden it's street football. It's recess. Hey, I got to get rid of this guy. Find him. There's no route running. It's scramble ball, scramble ball. We're playing street football.
Is that
Nobody's uncovering.
Is that a Debo specialty, though?
I you would think it is.
Is it?
He'd be a hard player. I don't know. I have no idea.
When I think of Debo, it's like ball in hands immediately. I don't think of like late – you know, like the play breaks down.
Wiggle
exactly.
Somewhere.
Like, to me, that's more Ayuk and...
Maybe George Kittle?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Keep going. I'm sorry.
But no, I was just going to go to Kevin and Cupertino because he has a theory on why Brock Purdy may be holding on
to
the ball so long.
I would love to hear this.
What's up, Kevin? What's going on? You're on a roast.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
I think Shanahan gets in his own way. I think it was go deep. Tom Brady talked about it on the broadcast. It was like, 49ers, they keep running these deep routes. And so I think when Shanahan has this game plan of like, all right, we need to get the linebackers back. We need to pretend like we have a deep threat. And I think when you tell Brock Purdy, who's kind of a yes-sir man, go deep, it messes with Brock Purdy. Did Brock Purdy audible at all? Is he reading the defense and adjusting the game plan? Or is it Shanahan's plan, go deep. And so Brock's forced to hold on to the ball a little bit longer than he's used to because I think he's getting told to go deep. Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Yeah, no, well, we've gone through this exercise before, and we could pull the audio, I'm sure it's in the system somewhere, of Kyle Shanahan sitting down with Tim Kawakami about what he wants his quarterbacks to do at the line of scrimmage, which is basically nothing because he feels like he has everything built into the play and he has all the answers. Want to find a play against Arizona, they run a blitz. You hurry up and get to the line of scrimmage. Purdy doesn't see the blitz. He holds the ball in a five-step drop, hop steps, pats the ball, and he gets it. I mean, we got to do something about this.
Well, I think one of the things you keep alluding to, like, man, and everyone's playing man against them. I mean, there's a guy available. I know their defense has issues. I just cited it. They can't stop the run. But I think the offense also needs to have some upgrades here. I'm telling you right now, if you're asking me, I'd say I'd spend the money. I'll worry about Purdy's contract next year and the year after. And I mean, who knows? Everyone keeps saying 60. It might be 45 million.
Who the hell knows?
Well, who knows?
Who the hell knows?
But point being is, I'd go get Devontae yesterday.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, if you're talking about man beaters, I'd even trade Pearsall. Screw it.
Thank you.
I mean,
whatever
it takes. Debo, Pearsall, or keep him, whatever. I would go get Devontae. The more and more I think about it, the more and more I think that this team absolutely needs, and he's a catch radius guy. He's a possession receiver. He's going to get open quickly. I think it's a no-brainer.
I love when you come back to have our home, man. I love this. I love this.
Bonte, no, the season is hanging in a balance here. They need to make a move. They need a splash.
And this last week,
was it 2 years ago? The week of the Chiefs game, they made the big deal to go get CMC. And then he played a couple snaps and oh my God.
But you could see it.
He's amazing.
And then the next week against the Rams.
I think this team needs a jolt.
Well,
bad.
To your point about Devontae, this is what you were asking me last week. How does he fit? Can he mess with Purdy? I'm thinking to myself, well, Kyle Shanahan has coached Andre Johnson. He's coached Julio Jones. He's coached Josh Gordon. When he's had those big specimen, those 6'3", 6'4", guys, 230, who could beat man coverage, he's done pretty well for himself. And then think about what it would do for Brandon Ayuk. It is Operation Win Now. There is no future. All right, this is a year-to-year league. You do what you got to do to win now. And if Devontae Adams is right there, which was last week, people are laughing about it. No, I'm not laughing about it. I never was. Devontae's a baller. You ask me, who is he as a receiver? We were having a conversation. What it was is, put your mic on. I know we got a break, but the hell with that. All right, we'll break. I don't want to get people in trouble. All right. We'll continue this, brought to you by Fremont Bank, 60 years of full-service bank with no compromises.
He ruined your zone.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Mucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning to everybody out there. Don't forget, today's your chance to have breakfast with Baldy, Friday, October 18th. Baldy will join us this morning at 7:30, and right after the conversation, we'll be giving out 10 spots. That's right, 10 spots for you and the guests to come in and have breakfast with Baldy. This segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. We watched the Chiefs last night improve to 5-0 and since that Super Bowl. They're widening the gap between themselves and the San Francisco 49ers.
I hate them.
They're Operation Three-peat. There may only be two or three teams that could hang with them this year because their defense is that good. Their defense is a top-five defense. And they've been a top-five defense since the playoffs started last season, which is unreal. And then you add that with the best quarterback in the league. And I don't care what his numbers are. I don't care what the analytics say. I don't care what the data says. What quarterback are you choosing over Patrick Mahomes? What quarterback are you selecting over Patrick Mahomes? I mean, he was out there with Juju Smith-Schuster on his first 100-yard, most receiving yards he's had since 2018. It's unbelievable. Unreal. Oh, Kelsey, quiet for the first month? Well, we'll get you 9 catches on Monday Night Football against a tough Saints defense. So Kansas City rolls on. The Niners are licking their wounds, and we're trying to figure out who the hell they are. What is the Niners' identity right now? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about Devontae Adams. I don't think that's happening. I don't think it's happening because you may have to trade something to get him. But if there's anybody you trade, and I don't even like doing this. I'll put it like this. If the Raiders, in this hypotheticals, if they say, hey, 49ers, we need a receiver back. I'm not trading Brandon Ayuk to them.
No.
I'm telling you that right now. It won't be Brandon Ayuk, and it probably won't be Juwan Jennings. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. I've been thinking about this long and hard, and the offseason was so odd. Just so odd. All the contract talk, them kind of knowing CMC had some, you know, injury stuff, but they gave him the contract extension anyway, sight unseen, no negotiate. It just felt like it happened all behind the scenes, right? And then, the Trent stuff played out publicly. Ayuk stuff played out very publicly. I think one of the biggest mistakes this organization did this offseason, to me, is the whole dangling of the receivers, both of them, Debo and Ayuk, so publicly was just bad business. And now it feels like the genie, the residue. I'm not saying these guys aren't professional. I'm just saying the residue of having that out there, right? You can't put the genie back in the bottle. And it feels like to me when I watch Kansas City, as you say, out of nowhere, we're trading Tyreek Hill and we're getting 2 first-round picks and we're just moving on and we're just bang, bang. It just happened. All right. I think there's something to be said for not letting it get out. And a lot of these guys knowing that, like, it's a dog eat, they already know it's dog eat dog, but I'm saying, like, so publicly, hey, Debo, we were going to trade you. Hey, Ayuk, I don't know. We were thinking about trading you. I just think it left a lot of emotions on the table, and I'm not surprised that there's been a lot of, I don't know, uneasy residue left over from all that. I think it was bad business by the Niners. I think they really screwed that up.
Well, yeah, I don't know how much of an impact that has on what's going on the football field. I really don't, because Debo came in and he had a great training camp. He's a captain of the football team, so whatever happened during the draft, Debo got over it and handled it like a pro and came to camp and looked really, really good. What was your reports out of training camp? Debo looks phenomenal.
He's
in phenomenal shape. So
I know, but I think it created an atmosphere of, I got to get mine right now because I could be the one out the door next year.
Well, we already knew Ayuk was going to try to get his. We knew that coming in. He was going to try to get his right now. That's what these players do. Before Jamar Chase didn't get his, he was trying to. T. Higgins was trying to get his. You know, Nick Bosa did the same thing. And Nick Bosa deserved his money. I want to make something clear. I'm not saying that Nick Bosa doesn't deserve the money. He got his money, and he deserved it. DPOY, Rookie of the Year, he's a force. But it's the way it went down, and all of a sudden we got all these excuses. And it's like, wait a minute, you got $122.5 million guaranteed. Just go play. Like, we're talking about adjustments and coaching and this and that 2 years in a row. That's not cool. So I think that stuff, they got over it. But the problem is you're beat up. That's one, number one. You're not executing at a high level. You're trying to put everything together at the last minute here without having a lot of guys in the camp.
That's true.
So that stuff hanging over their heads at the draft, I think they got Debo, especially Debo, I think he got over it here. But there is something here to drafting a wide receiver in the first round, which we don't discuss enough. Because when you do that, because all our initial reactions, let's face it, when Ricky Pearsall got drafted, I know what my reaction was. What the hell?
Because it should be plug and play. In the NFL, 9 times out of 10, first-round players that aren't quarterbacks are pretty much plug and play.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Sometimes.
Well, in the salary cap era, like, look at the Chiefs. They took a wide receiver in the first round. What's he been doing? How many snaps he getting?
He's getting a lot.
Exactly.
He's getting a lot.
I look at the Philadelphia Eagles. All their picks are playing. Yeah, some of them aren't playing well, but they're all playing.
Well, you see the young man from Jacksonville. Brian Thomas Jr.
looks phenomenal.
He's playing. He's a first-round pick, 17 overall. Malik Nabers, without the concussion, he was getting targeted left and right, 13, 14 targets a game.
He's unbelievable. 1,500 yards.
So if he comes back on time, right? Yeah. And trust me, fantasy teams need him. So the thing is, with Ricky Pearsall, now that you have Juwan Jennings, now that you have Debo and you have Brandon Ayuk, when you draft a wide receiver in the first round, you're thinking, okay, who are you moving off of?
That's what I'm saying.
And was that a need on this football team?
Well, clearly, a guy who can beat man is a need. But if that's the case, well, then you should have moved Debo. If that's where you were going, you should have moved Debo to get an asset back because you have other holes. See, this is about plugging the other holes as well as the wide receiver holes.
And the question still lingers. What if you know who Ricky Pearsall is?
No clue.
We know more for what happened in Union Square. God bless his soul. He's still alive.
I wasn't high on him coming out. We had the interview, and I was like warming up to it, and I wanted to see it. I wasn't going to crush it, but I didn't think it was that wasn't the player nor the specific need.
They say he looks great in practice, right, when he is on the practice field. He could beat man coverage. But I don't know.
I thought that George Odom looked good in practice. I thought Malik Mustafa looked good in practice.
I thought Trey Sermon was going to be great. We're talking about Trey Sermon during the break. Now he's on his third team playing for the Colts. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is right now, but maybe our roasters have an answer.
I don't know.
Let's go to Jimmy in Dublin. Jimmy, what's happening?
Good morning, man. How you guys doing?
I'm doing better.
All right, man. I got to be honest, man. I just feel like the Niners, I just feel like nature's kind of ran this course with them, man. I mean, they've had, you know, plenty of opportunities the last years, you know, to get to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, and I feel like they just dropped the ball. And, like, you hear people say, you hear players say all the time, when they win it or if they don't win it. It's rare to keep making the Super Bowl, you know, whether you make it once or twice or three times and stuff like that. And when you're there, you have to take full advantage of it. And I just feel like they haven't. I feel like they're regressing. And this, I'm starting to believe that, even though I don't want to believe, that this is kind of who they are right now. Like, I think their best years are, and you can say that for a few of these players, like Nick Bosa. I mean, he got paid and kind of, like, went on an Amber Alert. You know, Brock Purdy is kind of, I don't want to believe. Oh, I really do, but I feel like he's kind of showing you, you know, that he does have potential to make a lot of mistakes, but at the same time, a lot of his weapons are missing, and they're just not the same team without McCaffrey at all, and it shows you his value to that team. You guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, Jimmy. Are we due for a regression?
For who?
For the 49ers. I'll listen to that.